Okay, today we are looking at chapter 4 of Samuel. And the theme here is that the glory had departed from Israel. So today's study can be put under three sessions. The first one is about the Philistines engaging the Israelites in a battle. The second one deals with the capturing of the ark by the Philistines. The last session has to do with the death of Eli and his two sons. So let's start by looking at the Philistines engaging the Israelites in the battle. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Samuel went against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. Here in verse 1, the word of Samuel is the word of the Lord. The word of Samuel being heard by all Israel implies that we are without excuse of not knowing the word of the Lord regarding what he requires of us. The Lord always seeks for an occasion to come to us with his judgment so that we are without excuse of not knowing his word. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. For example, when the Lord wanted to judge the Philistines who had dominion over the Israelites, he sought for an occasion through Samson to engage the Philistines in a battle. Israelites here represents the Lord's people who are used to being dominated by the flesh, signified by the Philistines. At a certain stage of our walk with Christ, we have to come to know that we are no match as far as our flesh is concerned. In other words, the Lord wants us to know our spiritual depravity before he comes to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness to deliver us. Judges chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a man among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for that at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Verses 1 and 2 therefore show us how the Lord causes us to be overcome by the flesh, represented by the Philistines, to give him the occasion that he is seeking to come into our lives to judge the flesh. Israel being smitten by the Philistines in verse 2 is to show us our inability to overcome the flesh before the Lord comes to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness to overcome the flesh on our behalf. Galatians 5:17 says, For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to one to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. It is instructive to note that the number of the Israelites killed by the Philistines was 4,000. That is 4 times 10 times 10 times 10 men. The number 4 means the whole of the matter under discussion. The number 10 means the fullness of the flesh. The 3 tens means that our spiritual maturity through the process of judgment begins with us realizing that our flesh has dominated us to the fullest extent. In other words, the whole of the Lord's elect must be overcome by the flesh before the Lord comes to us with this judgment to bring us to maturity. For example, Gideon, a symbol of the Lord's elect, had to be overcome by the flesh, the Midianites, before he was given victory over them. Judges chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." Judges 8, 4 says, "And Gideon came to the Jordan and crossed over, he and his 300 men who were with him, exhausted, yet pursuing." Reminds me of our walk with Christ. Yes, there may be so many times we are exhausted, but we just have to continue pursuing until we find him. Judges chapter 8, verse 7 says, "And so Gideon said, 'Well then, when the Lord has given Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, I will fill your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars.'" Yes. So talking about the Lord giving victory to Gideon. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 3. "And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore has the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it comes among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies.'" In our spiritual poverty, we behave just like the elders of the people of Israel, who do not understand that the Lord has occasioned our defeat by the flesh. Our thinking at that time of our walk was that if only we have the tangible presence of the Lord, signified by the ark with us, we shall be saved from our flesh. The elders of Israel here are a symbol of the leaders of the church system of this world, or Babylon, who have no clue as to what it takes for the Lord to grant us victory over the flesh. This is what it takes to overcome the flesh. Galatians 5, 16. "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Romans 8, 13 and 14 says, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The spirit here is the word of the Lord. And therefore, walking in the spirit is living according to the word of the Lord. As we have been shown in the word, we have to understand the word of the Lord in the spirit and not the letter which kills. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. "Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. John 6:63 says, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. To be able to walk in the spirit means that we are able to understand the Lord's words in the spirit. This is achieved through the Lord's judgment of our flesh, which is the same as hearing the voice of the Lord in the midst of the fire. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 24. And you said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God does talk with man and he lives. Walking in the spirit and not fulfilling the desires of the flesh therefore implies that as we are given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, our flesh is being judged. And it is through this that we learn righteousness or learn not to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Isaiah 26, 8 and 9 says, yea, by the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4-5. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwell between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. Excuse me. Shiloh represents the church system of this world, or Babylon. As indicated, the ark symbolizes the presence of the Lord. The people sending to Shiloh to bring the ark means that it is the church system of this world which seeks to validate the presence of the Lord through signs and wonders. It is important to note the mention of Hophni and Phinehas with the ark of the covenant of God. This is what we know about Hophni and Phinehas from previous studies. The mention of Hophni and Phinehas as priests of the Lord at that time in Shiloh is to make us aware of the deplorable state of the leaders of the church system of this world, which we were ushered into at the beginning of our walk with Christ. This is what the word of the Lord says about Hophni and Phinehas, who were sons of Eli the high priest. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. 1 Samuel 2:17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhor the offering of the Lord. According to Strong, the sons of Eli being referred to as sons of Belial is to show us their deplorable state, as they epitomize wickedness. One of the principles of the word of the Lord is the is, was, and will be nature. If at the time of Hannah, the leaders of the church system of her day were sons of wickedness, then it means that the situation today is the same. That is, evil men are in leadership. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, or the Almighty. Micah chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Your leaders exchange justice for bribes. Your priests teach for a price. Your prophets tell the future for money. But they rely on the Lord when they say, after all, the Lord is with us. Nothing bad will happen to us. Because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a pile of rubble. And the Temple Mountain will become its worship site covered with trees. Jeremiah 5, 30 and 31. Wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The priests, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people laugh to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world, represented by the physical Jews, they require a sign. While the people of this world, as the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. The Israelites requesting for the ark means requesting for signs and wonders. What this means is that our brothers and sisters in the church system validate the presence of the Lord through signs and wonders. This is what causes them to be deceived, as we shall see in this study. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11 says that there are many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. For him, even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they might believe a lie. The great shouting that greeted the presence of the ark in the midst of the Israelites is what we see today in the churches of this world, as we see great excitement greet the performance of signs and wonders in the midst of the churches of this world. They think the Lord has come in their midst, just like the Israelites thought that the Lord was with them in their battle against the Philistines. The capturing of the ark by the Philistines. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What means the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there has not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hands of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness." To understand these verses, we need to know the relationship of the devil with our flesh, which is represented by the Philistines. The devil is the one who influences our flesh. Our flesh is the beast, which is empowered by the devil. That is in Revelation chapter 13, verse 2-4. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they said, and they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Verses 4, verses 6 to 8 show us that the Philistines were afraid and were wondering who shall deliver them from the hands of the mighty gods. When they heard that the Ark of the Covenant had come in the midst of the lost people, when Christ comes to us to begin our walk with him, the power of our flesh is initially subdued. This is what it means for the beast, our flesh, to have a deadly wound. verses 6 to 8. Therefore, show us the nervousness of our flesh when Christ comes to us to begin our journey. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. Be strong and quit yourself like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourself like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Ophni and Phinehas, were slain. Over time, however, our flesh deadly wound is healed through the false doctrines propagated by false apostles parading in the corridors of the churches of this world as the Lord's elect. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Therefore, we become worse and are of no match to our flesh. As shown in verse 10, the great slaughter of the Israelites means that we were overwhelmed by our flesh. This scenario is what Apostle Peter described as follows. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. For if after they have escaped the defilement of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to his own vomit, and the soul, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. It is important to note that the number of Israelites who fell that day amounted to 30,000 footmen. The number 30 can be broken down as follows. 30,000 is 30 times 10 times 10 times 10. The number 30 on a positive note denotes reigning with Christ, as shown in the following verses. Genesis chapter 41, verses 46 says, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4 says, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. On a negative note, the number 30 means the spiritual death of the Lord's elect. And that is found in Judges chapter 20, verse 39. The men of Israel should turn in battle. Now, Benjamin had begun to strike and kill about 30 men of Israel. They said, surely they are defeated before us, as in the first battle. Excuse me. Numbers chapter 20, verse 29. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron had perished, that means Aaron had died, all the house of Israel wept for Aaron 30 days. So the number 30 is a symbol of the spiritual death, the Lord's elect. Deuteronomy 34, 8. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plain of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses was ended. The Philistine slaughter of 30,000 men of Israel therefore signifies the fact that as the Lord's elect, we become spiritually dead in Babylon as our flesh reaches its fullness. Excuse me. The Lord being taken by the Philistines in verse 11 signifies the man of sin or our flesh. sitting in our temple or our hearts and mind, claiming himself to be God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. As a result, we profane the name of the Lord among the people of this world during our time in the churches of this world. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 20 and 21. And when they entered into the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and have gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, wherever they go, they went. The death of the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, who represent the leaders of the church system of this world, is to let us know the spiritual bankruptcy or death of the leaders of the church system of this world, who are overcome by the flesh. Isaiah 56, verse 9 to 12. All you beasts of the field, come to devour. All ye beasts in the forest, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. So it means that you see, when we start being taking false doctrines and we become blind, then we are like a prey to this beast of the field. They come to devour. They are all damned dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow will be as this day, and much more abundant. As shown in Isaiah 56:9, the leaders or the watchmen of the church system of this world are all devoured by the beasts of the field. That is to say that they are all dominated by the flesh, which in our study is represented by the Philistine slaughter of the sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. The death of Eli. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 12 to 15. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what means the noise of this tumult? And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. The man of Benjamin of the army of Israel, who escaped from the battle, renting his clothes and putting earth on his forehead, is a symbol of the Lord's elect. Rending one's clothes and putting earth upon one's head is a symbol of deep mourning and grief. It was a traditional Hebrew custom to express overwhelming sorrow, particularly upon hearing news of death, tragic loss, or natural catastrophe. Genesis chapter 37, verse 34. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. As shown in the book of Revelation, the Lord's elect in this age, denoted by the two witnesses, are in a mourning mood as they carry the message of death of our old man of our flesh through the Lord's judgment. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two watchmen, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. The man of Benjamin informing the people of the city about what has happened showed us that in the fullness of time, the Lord's elect will be given the opportunity to preach to our brothers and sisters in Babylon. As we know, a city in the Bible can represent Babylon or the church of the living God. In verse 13, we are shown that all the city was crying out after the message from the man of Benjamin. This means that as we preach to our brothers and sisters in Babylon in the fullness of time, they will also mourn, just as we are mourning in this age. In verse 15, we are shown that Eli could not see as his eyes were dim because of his age, that is 98. Eli signifies the fading glory of the law of Moses, which operates in the churches and in the world. When we are under the law of Moses, we cannot see the sons of God and their glorious liberty. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 to 21 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. "And the man said unto Eli, I'm he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, What is there that my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there has been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass when he's mentioned, and it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell off from the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. But the man from Benjamin told Eli, what the man of Benjamin told Eli is that he fled from the Philistines and that Eli's two sons had been killed. He also mentioned that the ark has been captured by the Philistines. As the Lord left, we are overcome by our flesh, the Philistines, before we are given to win the victory over our flesh. As indicated earlier, the ark of God is the presence of the Lord, and this presence is in our hearts and mind. The capture of the ark, therefore, means that our old man or flesh, which represents the Philistines, is the one sitting on the throne of our God in our hearts and mind, thinking that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So that is what it means in the New Testament, what it means when the Ark of the Covenant has been captured by the Philistines. It means that our old man or flesh sits in the temple of God, claiming that he is God. Immediately he mentioned that the Ark has been captured, Eli fell from his seat and in the process broke his neck and died. As indicated, Eli signifies the fading glory of the law of Moses. The death of Eli means that Samuel is the one to take over the mantle. The death of Eli, therefore, means that faith has come to us, his elect, and therefore we are no longer under the law of sin and death, as the Lord comes to us with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 36. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. We were kept under Eli. Shut up unto the faith which afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. We are no longer under the law of Moses or under Eli. Eli is behind us. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 19 to 22. These are the last verses. And his daughter-in-law, Finan's wife, was with her, with child, near to be delivered. When she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pain came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast a son." But she answered and said, "He answered not, neither did she regard it." And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of his father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Finance wife denotes the church system of this world or Babylon, which is in bondage with her children. Her death shows us that the church system of this world is spiritually bankrupt. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. "Because thou seest," that's all talking about the church system, "because thou seest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." To understand the meaning of the glory departed from Israel, we need to know what the glory of the Lord represents. The first time the word glory was used in the Bible, it refers to the wealth of labor as follows. Here we are talking about Jacob. Genesis chapter 31, verse 1 says, "And he heard the words of Laban," that's Jacob, "he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory." So we can see here that glory is talking about, you know, the wealth of Laban. The second time glory was used in the Bible, it shows the wealth, the power, the authority of Joseph in Egypt. Genesis chapter 45, verse 13 says, "And you shall tell my father all of my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen, and you shall haste and bring him down, my father, here." These examples of the use of glory shows us that the glory of the Lord has to do with his spiritual wealth in authority. Therefore, finance wife naming his her child Ichabod, which means the glory is departed from Israel, implies that the children of the harlot woman, that is the church system of this world or Babylon, shall not be given to know the spiritual riches, power, and authority of Christ. In other words, they have not been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 to 12. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever shall has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has." We therefore thank the Lord for this opportunity to know him in this age. It is marvelous indeed in our eyes. Amen.